bringing Sean Campbell from TSN Radio in Montreal. And the Canadians are in a much different position than the Edmonton Oilers. The Canadians have 34 points sitting atop the NHL's Eastern Conference. Sean, welcome back to the show. How are you, man?
I'm very good. Everything well in Edmonton?
It's a little chilly, but I think we're doing okay. Streds, you doing okay, buddy?
No, I'm a little chilled, but thanks for asking.
You guys are still upset about the Eskimos losing, right?
A little bit, yeah. We'll get over that eventually.
We're not dying.
Eventually. Sean, this weekend for the Canadians, not obviously the weekend they were hoping for, two losses to the Buffalo Sabres, but they were both pretty close games.
Yeah, they were close games score-wise, but if Saturday night was any indication, it was pure dominance from the Montreal Canadiens. And Jonas Enroth put on a show. He was making saves left, right, and center. And if you even saw the Gallagher goal that he scored, it went across the goal line by a millimeter. And that's, you know, very few and far between chances that the Montreal Canadiens had. But they were dominant. They were pressing. Alex Galchenyuk himself had 16 shots towards goal. He had 6 shots on goal, 6 missed shots, and 4 block shots. So he was just firing away on the Buffalo Sabres. So the Montreal Canadiens, to the naked eye, were clearly the better team, but at the end of the day, they lose in a shootout. But I think what the problem is for Canadiens fans, they just look at two games versus the Buffalo Sabres back-to-back, and they lose. And I remember leaving the station on Friday, you're talking about, all right, how many points are the Canadiens going to get this weekend? It was like 4-4, 3-4, 4-4. They get 1. And that's just not good enough for a team that was in first place.
Sean, you mentioned Brendan Gallagher there. He recently signed a contract extension to stay with the Canadiens. He scored on the weekend. How did the fan base react to Brendan Gallagher's contract extension?
Yeah, I don't think anybody. I think this is, you know, you guys know how radio works. We do the same thing. You kind of try and take an angle, try and take a twist. Everyone's just like, yeah, great deal. It's awesome. 6 years of Brendan Gallagher. Like, no one will not want a guy like Brendan Gallagher on your team. And I don't think it's a hit that's going to really devastate the team. 3.75 over the next 6 years. Maybe he'll be underpaid at the end. Maybe he'll be overpaid for the next 2 years. At the end of the day, this is a guy that never, ever, ever takes a shift off. He might miss some time because he gets banged up out there. I'm personally a little questionable if he's ever going to be a 20 goal scorer. I think he'll maybe hit 20 once, maybe twice, but that's okay. There's a lot of intangibles that he does bring to the table, and I think that he's a guy that, you know, Marc Bergevin wanted part of this team moving forward, and every team needs a guy that they can lean on. Brendan Gallagher's value to this team is to a point where he can go on any line and he'll be okay. Like, he can play with Desharnais. He can play with Thomas Mechanics. He can play with Lars Eller. There's not a center that's like, oh, he has to play with him. He can go anywhere. So that also alleviates things for Michel Therrien. So I think that's why Marc Bergevin looked at this and said, this is a guy that I want on the team. I want him long term. Let's see if we can get him done. And he signed him. And I don't know if there's too many people that's upset with the term. And I don't think there's too many people that's upset with the money. And I'm including Marc Bergevin and Brendan Gallagher in that.
Bergevin has made some moves, moving out some longer contracts or some shorter ones that expire, and defensemen Gonchar and Brian Allen. How does that whole collection of D now work, including those two guys and the ones that are already there?
Yeah, well, the way it works is your top pairing is Subban and Markov. That's their go-to guys. They put them together. They're pairing. They're a number one unit, and they play 24, 23 minutes, sometimes, 25, 26, depending on the game, minutes a night. They're on the power play. They're on the penalty kill. That's their unit. They're setting it up like that. They had them split up earlier, but they put them together. Then you have your second unit, which Gonchar has actually jumped into with Alexei Yemelin. So Gonchar and Yemelin, they'll pick up the second minutes. Now it seems that there's a three-way battle for Allen, Gilbert, and Weaver for battling for ice time. It was Allen the last two games. They lost the two games. You saw a little bit of lack of speed there for Brian Allen, so now they're going to try Gilbert again. Gilbert has had an up-and-down season with the Canadiens, and they haven't taken Mike Weaver out as a healthy scratch just yet, but I'm curious if he's going to be in that rotation of three guys. They've been healthy on the blue line, barring a couple games that Alexei Yemelin has missed. The Canadiens on the blue line are quite healthy, and they have been all season long. So they have depth if they need. They have guys, all those guys, I believe, can play in the NHL. And they have two guys in the minors right now, and Bolian and Tenorti, who started the season up top as 6 and 7. They've been pushed all the way to 8 and 9 pretty much on the depth chart, but they can play in the NHL as well.
How has Gonchar come in and earned that spot in the second pairing?
Yeah, it's weird because the first game he came in and everyone's like, if he plays 15 minutes, he'll be okay. Can't play him more than that. And he was really solid. He played like 22 minutes his first game. Then Michel Therrien brought it down to 15. But I think it's more because he's the one that's more at ease at playing with Alexi Yemelin. He's a left-handed shot, but he likes to play the right side. And I think that there was just a spot there for him. And Yemelin and Gilbert really wasn't working. So there's still a hole there. As much as Michel Therrien, Marc Bergevin has gone out and acquired defensemen, there's still talk how the Montreal Canadiens need a three or a four. Right now, Yemelin's their three, but they still believe he's a four. So they want another guy for that pairing. Like Gonchar every day for 20 minutes, 22 minutes, I think it'll take its toll. He might get a rest every now and then, but he has not looked awful. He's looked solid. He's probably been, since he's shown up, one of the more consistent defensemen, and that's why Allen and Weaver and Gilbert have been rotating on the bottom pairings, because Gonchar, he's shown up and he was good. He was consistent, and he earned that, so he's been there for now. I don't know how long it'll last or if it'll last to the end of the season, but for right now, Gonchar is definitely top four on the team.
Sean Campbell from TSN Radio in Montreal joining Mijo and Strudwick talking a little bit about the Montreal Canadiens. Sean is with TSN 690 Montreal. Sean, Carey Price, one of the top goalies in the league. He's played like it so far this year. What have you thought of Carey Price?
Yeah, look, he picks up points for the Montreal Canadiens when some nights they're just out of it, and Carey Price is there. He's making saves left, right, and center. And the Montreal Canadiens, it's unbelievable. They've only scored the first goal of the game 8 times this year. This is a team that was in first place. 8 times they've had to come from behind by not scoring the first goal of the game. And a lot of those cases, they could have been down, instead of 1-0, 2-0, or 3-0. Carey Price has a knack of making a save when the team needs it. I think this is something that all of Canada got to see at the Olympics. You know, you could have debated with that roster, you could put anybody in goal. But it was about timely saves. And Carey Price is there for that. Now, his numbers, the goals against, save percentage, they may not be right up there with, you know, Pecorines or what you're seeing with even, Ryan Miller's looking good this year. It's all about watching him play. And he is so valuable to this team. Everybody saw what happened in the playoffs as well. He is so valuable to this team that if anything were to happen to him, you know, the team would absolutely collapse. And I know that people like Dustin Tokarski and, you know, they believe that maybe he could carry the load for a little. No, this is Carey Price's team. This team, you know, you talk about they were tied for first with the Islanders, Tavares. You know, you got the Islanders and Stamkos. You got the Penguins and Crosby. When you say Canadians and you go and you try and compare someone, you have to say Carey Price. That's how valuable he is, that value to what those guys are to those teams.
Sean, what have you thought of Alex Galchenyuk's season so far? 15 points in 25 games. I've been impressed with him in the few games I've watched the Canadians play so far. What's the strongest point of Galchenyuk's game?
This year, you know, you even ask the coach. The coach always says confidence. It's because he's been giving it. He's getting power play time. He used to have to scrape and claw to possibly get a shot on the power play last year. He wasn't even in the top six, which, you know, boggled everybody's mind because he is so offensively talented, like gifted, talented. And he's still playing the wing. He's on the left side. So there's still that question, will he become a center, will he not? But at this point, it's almost like just leave him be a winger, let him be a shooter. Someone told him, because over the last few games, he's just been firing the puck. He's squeezing his stick a little bit lately, and that's why he hasn't picked up points. He's missing the mark a little bit. He's shooting wide. He's trying to pick the corners. He has the talent to do so, and I like what Alex Galchenyuk is doing, but I still think that at some point, he's going to have to really bury those chances, because 15 points in 25 games is not what the Canadians need. They need Alex Galchenyuk to be a 70 to 80 point player, which maybe that's his potential, but they need that now. Past right now, Pacioretty, they do not have a goal scorer. It's Pacioretty, and that's it. Then you're pretty much next is Thomas Plekanec, and then you're getting to Galchenyuk. Galchenyuk has to be number two on that list. He's got to be a guy that scores 25 to 30. He's just not there yet. He just needs a little bit more finish.
Well, a guy that has scored goals in the past is P.A. Pronto. He did last year for the Avalanche, gets traded to Canadiens. Two-part question, how have you evaluated his play this year, and what do you expect for him tonight playing against his old team, the Avalanche?
Yeah, I expect him to have a little extra jump. It's weird. You know, you guys play their former team in the building, like Colorado and Montreal's played already, but now they're going into Colorado. So I expect a little bit, you know, extra. It's like, you know, before the game, a lot of people are like, course, Gallagher is going to score. He just signed a 6-year contract. Guys have that little extra step. It's hard to explain. You know, they know that it's going to be focused on them. And I think P.A. Parenteau is going to have a good. I have no problem with P.A. Parenteau, what he's doing. And I think, like, he's a guy. I talked about goal scoring, but again, you know, you go look at his career, look what he could possibly do. He's playing with Desharnais and Pacioretty. He's really been stable there. They started preseason with that. He left them for a while, and now he's back. I like what he's providing with that line. I think that he has the nice mix of shooting, passing, what that line needs. A little bit more physicality, if he could. I still think at the end of the day, he's maybe a 20-goal scorer. You know, just on the Canadians, they're just missing that 25-30 guy behind Pacioretty. They do have a bunch of guys that could maybe get to 20, but I don't know if he's going to get to 20. You know, you prorate all the Canadians' numbers, they're all sitting at 18, 19 goals. And this is a team that, you know, played the Buffalo Sabres the other night, outshot them. And I'm like, if they just had one more talented player, maybe he buries one of those shots because these shots aren't that great. So P.A. Parenteau, I like him. I have no problem. I think what they did was pretty much steal him for Danny Briere, because you got to think, it's either Danny Briere or Parenteau on this team right now. And I think anybody would take Parenteau over Briere the way that he's been playing.
But a little over a quarter of the way through the season, I guess getting up to a third of the way through the season. What's the part of the game that's most impressed you about the Montreal Canadiens?
I think it's the way that they're able to bounce back, and this is something we saw in the playoffs last year. They really, really focus at one game at a time. Now, their losses this year have been incredible. You're talking about 5-0, 4-0, 4-0, 5-0, 7-1, 5-2, 3-0. They have been destroyed in their losses. And that's one of the reasons why their goals for and against are so disproportionate, is because when they lose, like, to the top. And there's nothing there on that team. So for the Canadians, what I like is that they don't get too high when they've won 5, 6, 7, 8 games in a row. They focus. And the city, you know how Montreal is, and I'm sure it's the same in Edmonton, explode after every loss. Like, I work the post-game shows, and I've been doing it all season long, and they just lost 2 games to Buffalo, and I get calls of fire Terrier, and I'm like, okay, like, the next day, you know, you hear them, you speak to them, they're like, yeah, it's disappointing, but we know it's 82 games, it's a focus. They are very focused on what they have to do and what their end game is. Do they feel that maybe they're a first-place team? They like that they were in first place, but I still think that they believe that they're a middle-pack, you know, middle-of-the-pack Eastern Conference team within the playoffs that's, you know, going to have to fight and earn every single point out there. So what's impressed me is their ability to bounce back after a loss and get right back to where they were before.
Sean, we'll get you out here on this one. Obviously, you follow the Montreal Canadiens very closely, but I just want to get your thoughts from someone who maybe doesn't watch a ton of Edmonton Oilers games. What are your thoughts on the Oilers? And if you were GM, how would you go about trying to fix it?
Oh, yeah, everyone's got a solution to this one, right?
So I'm asking you, man.
Yeah, I know. I think it's from the beginning, and it's so tough because they've had every opportunity to start from scratch and with all these first-round picks, and it goes on and on and on. I think that there's going to have to be, you know, this sacrifice of someone that they don't want to sacrifice. Everyone's like, oh, they're going to move Perron. They're going to move a guy, you know, like Eberle. They can't touch Hall. You can't touch Nugent Hopkins. They need a defenseman. What about goaltending? I just think that maybe if for them to do something that they need to get done and to get the package that they want to bring in, they may have to sacrifice something they don't want to sacrifice. And I'm talking about a Hall or a Nugent Hopkins. And everyone's like, nope, can't touch them, can't do it. But for what they need, which is numerous, that may be the only way. And it may be the worst decision in the world, and that's why they won't do it. It's because they're so hesitant to get rid of something that you know that is a known commodity, something you don't know. But there's it seems like there's a lot of problems in Edmonton, and that's the small solution that I don't think would ever happen.
Well, Sean, I appreciate your time tonight. Sean Campbell from TSN 690 Montreal. Sean, I appreciate your time. Enjoy the night. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, have a good one.